I sent a text to Miles. Alexis, is everyone safe? It was several minutes before I got a response. Miles, everyone is safe. Isaac is crashing at a friend's house, while Ethan is at Ryan's. I let out the breath I had been holding and relaxed into the mattress. My phone vibrated again. Miles, are you all right? I smiled to myself. Alexis, yeah, just worried about everyone. Miles, everyone is all right. I promise. Get some sleep. Lexi, night. I looked at my phone, debating what to do. Fuck it. I texted the twins separately. Alexis, I love you. I didn't get a response. I didn't need one. I just needed them to read it. I fell into a troubled sleep that night. Chapter 11. Wednesday. I cursed and grumbled as I made my way through the hallway. I had a shitty night where I couldn't fall asleep, and when I finally did, it was full of rotting Sophie dreams. Then, of course, Mr. Davis at the cemetery was a dick, demanding to know when it would be his turn. Not to mention my stomach was aching, probably from stress. The only thing that put a smile on my face was the way everyone got out of the way of Hades. My baby was rather scary looking, even with the service animal vest on. I met the guys at our usual table, though Isaac and Ethan weren't there. As the guys greeted Hades, I examined their faces. Zeke had a split lip, a black eye, and a bruised jaw, while Asher had a bruised jaw and a cut with bruising over his cheekbone. Miles was untouched. "What the hell happened to you two?" I snapped. Zeke shrugged.
"After the twins left, they needed a fight, so we gave them one."
He was so matter-of-fact that it left me speechless for a few heartbeats. Was this guy logic? Then again, I understood that need to hit someone. I looked to Miles. "Tell me the twins aren't hurt," I asked. "The twins have minimal injuries," Miles assured me. Zeke actually took the brunt of it. I shook my head and let it go.
"Since Hades is here, I take it we aren't walking you to classes today?"
Asher asked, with a grin. I smiled. "Nope. She told me to bring my service dog, so I brought my service dog." The guys chuckled. Zeke turned to Asher.
"Bet you 10 she'll be in the office again by the end of lunch."
Asher chuckled.
"Deal."
The morning bell rang. "Well, we need to get to class," I said innocently. The guys chuckled again as I walked away. Feeling a little better, I headed for history. I brought Hades into the classroom as if nothing was different. I sat down, then told Hades to sit next to my desk. He took up the whole aisle between desks. Everyone kept sending looks my way, or at Hades. I couldn't really tell. After the late bell rang, Mr. Matthews went to the podium, then looked out over the classroom. His eyes settled on Hades.
"Lexi, whose idea was it to bring a dog into my classroom?"
he asked dryly. I gave him an innocent smile. "Well, Mrs. Weaver didn't want my friends to walk me to class anymore." He smirked.
"All right, just don't let him eat any books."
My classes continued on like that for the rest of the morning until math. I was working at my desk when Laura leaned over the gap a little. "What kind of dog is he?" she asked. Laura was a pretty girl, when she smiled and stopped hiding in her long, straight brown hair. "He's a Neapolitan Mastiff," I said, looking back down at my work. "So, he's going to be huge," she said. I nodded, then turned to her again. "Yep. He should reach my belly button by the time he's done growing." Laura smiled. "I've got a dog at home, a terrier. She's nowhere this big." I smiled. "Maybe we should arrange a play date for the dogs at your house," I suggested. "He plays with Zeke's dogs, but they are bigger than him. It'd be good to expose him to smaller dogs." Her eyes grew wide, her face pale. "I don't think that would work. She nervously looked back down at her notebook.
Your dog would probably scare mine to death. I eyed her.
That was strange. I tried to shrug the feeling off as I went back to my work without another word. I kept trying to be friends with Laura, but she was keeping me at a distance. Maybe I should stop trying?
But at one of the parks might be a good idea,
Laura offered. I looked up to find her smiling a tense smile.
That could be fun.
I nodded. Sounds good to me. She smiled, then went back to her work. So it wasn't me. Why would she have an issue with me going to her house? I ran over the scenarios until the bell rang. She hurried out before I could say goodbye. I kept a good grip on Hades as we walked towards chemistry.
There she is, a voice said. I told you she goes this way.
It was the guys from the abandoned hospital, Travis and Keith. They were striding towards me.
Hades, guard me,
I whispered down to him. He instantly went into what Zeke called alert mode. His ears were up, and he was against the side of my leg, looking around both of us. If someone got within 2 feet of me, he would growl.
You're Lexi, right?
Keith asked as they reached me. How did you find me? I asked as I kept walking.
You're the only redhead in school,
Keith pointed out.
And Zeke Blackthorne isn't exactly easy to miss,
Travis added. I tightened my grip on Hades' leash as we entered the hallway.
This is creepy as fuck. Did you know that? We want to know what you saw that night,
Travis stated emphatically. I looked up at Keith. You saw it. They were like shadows. I went to leave. Travis blocked my way. I instantly backed up a step, taking Hades with me.
I only caught a glimpse, and that was after you saw something before anyone else,
Travis pointed out. My hands clenched around Hades' leash, but at the same time, my temper sparked.
No, I didn't,
I told him clearly. He stepped closer. Hades growled, barked, and lunged forward. I gave him more leash for him to make his point. Hades suddenly had Travis's attention. He stepped back several feet. Everyone walking by glanced at us but didn't stop.
If you're psychic, do you know how much good you could do in town?
Keith took a shot, moving to the side.
You could really help people.
I'm not, I repeated. I didn't like the way they made me feel boxed in against the hall wall.
Haven't you heard about the power surges around town?
Keith asked.
The rumors of ghosts have gone up over 100% in the last few months.
I had heard about the power surges. Hell, last week a transformer on our block blew and needed to be replaced. It was hard not to notice all the electric company trucks everywhere in town. But the sightings of the dead, that concerned me. What rumors? I asked in a placating tone. I didn't want to give this guy anything that would increase his interest in me.
Ghost sightings have been popping up all over town,
Travis informed me.
It's getting weird out there, and if you're a psychic, you can really help.
Okay. I wanted out of this conversation as fast as possible. I'm not, so leave me alone. I went to walk around Keith, but Travis was faster than I thought. Hades growled again.
You're seriously not going to help us,
Travis snapped. You're about 5 seconds away from me loosening my grip on my dog, I growled at him quietly.
Lexi?
A familiar voice called from down the hallway. Morgan started walking towards us, frowning at the boys blocking my way. Hey, Morgan, I said. I'd never been happier to see that shaggy dark hair and those dark, heavily lidded eyes. Morgan was taller than both Travis or Keith, but don't let his lean body fool you. He had some serious strength in those lean muscles.
Why are you blocking her way?
Morgan asked Travis and Keith.
If a girl wants to leave, you don't stop her, and you certainly don't block her in.
Keith's cheeks turned red. Travis just scowled.
We were having a private conversation,
Travis announced. And I was trying to leave so I could go to class, I pointed out.
Keith grabbed Travis's shoulder and got him moving.
Come on, we'll be late,
Keith muttered while keeping his friend moving. I turned back to Morgan. Thanks. I was about to let Hades loose on them. He grinned.
You're welcome. Nice dog.
Morgan started walking again. I didn't tell Hades to heal, which was the command to stop guarding me, until I reached the classroom. Mr. Turner took one look at Hades and smiled.
What's with the dog, Lexi?
I explained the situation to him quickly. He was laughing as he waved me to my group. My attention immediately went to the twins. Isaac had a split lip and a bruised jaw. Ethan had a black eye and a bruise on his chin. Damn, I said softly. Are you guys okay? Isaac continued looking down at the table, his eyes unfocused. Ethan clenched his jaw and didn't answer. It felt like a blow to the stomach. My eyes burned. They weren't talking to me. I sat down slowly, then looked to Miles. He gave me an understanding smile as he reached over and ran his hand up and down my back, comfortingly. Hades left my side to go to Isaac's. Isaac reached down and scratched Hades' ears. During the rest of class, it really started to get to me. If I could just talk to them... And what, Lexi? You lied to them for months, and now they are hurting because of it. We did the lab in silence. I hated this. My stomach started aching more and more. Cursing my luck, I made a mental note to stop at the bathroom once class was over. When the bell rang, Ethan and Isaac all but ran out of class. Not able to take it anymore, I followed them around the corner. Guys, I called. Ethan stopped, his gaze on the ground as he clenched his jaw. Isaac kept going. I went to Ethan's side. I know you're mad at me, and I deserve it.
I'm not mad at you,
he growled. I went still. Ethan took a deep breath and let it out slowly before he looked at the wall.
I'm just mad, and I'm going to be for a while, so just leave me alone.
And not talking to me is part of it? I asked carefully. He nodded.
Isaac hasn't said a word since he left the house. He's not talking to anyone, not even me.
He turned and walked off. Tears filled my eyes. Isaac wasn't talking to anyone? That wasn't good. That so wasn't good. Wintergreen reached me before Miles stepped next to me and held out my bag. I must have left it inside. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Miles said gently in that silky, smooth timbre I loved.
This is their process, Lexi. When they are angry, they break off and don't talk to anyone.
Seriously? I asked. He nodded.
When they are ready to deal or talk about it, they'll come back.
I bit the corner of my bottom lip as I looked at the direction they went. I didn't like it. My stomach cramped hard, bringing me back to my current situation. I've got to hit the restroom, I told him.
I'll hold on to Hades outside,
he offered. Thanks. We walked to the nearest girls' bathroom. I left Hades with Miles and went in alone. I quickly checked my makeup in the mirror before going into a stall. Sure enough, my period started. I cursed, as if I didn't have enough problems right now. I dug into my backpack, then cursed a long blue streak. I was out of fucking tampons. I wanted to punch the stall wall. And the bathrooms didn't carry the dispensers. Fuck. I made a makeshift pad and hoped it would hold until I got home. After washing my hands and checking my shoes for trailing toilet paper, I walked outside to find that Zeke and Asher had found us. Great. I need to head home real quick, I said cryptically as I slung my bag over my shoulder. Asher opened his mouth, then stopped as understanding filled his eyes. Yeah, he had a sister. He'd get it.
Why?
Zeke demanded. Both he and Miles looked confused. Because I do, I told him. Miles was looking at the bathroom door, probably figuring it out when Zeke growled,
Why do you have to go home?
Completely irritated, I snapped. Because my period started and I don't have any tampons in my bag. Zeke's brows darted up.
Oh.
The shock on his face was almost comical.
Zeke, you're so dense sometimes,
Asher told him as he fought back a smile. Zeke shot him a look.
Well, I don't have to deal with this shit. Sylvie's in menopause or whatever it's called.
My face was burning when Miles brought his backpack around his shoulder. Okay, now that everyone knows, I've gotta go, I announced quietly.
Don't they have dispensers? Like the condoms in the guy's bathroom?
Zeke asked. My face felt like it was on fire. No, they don't, I said pointedly. Hence why I have to run home. I wanted to disappear out of this conversation. I might not even come back to school today after this. Miles opened the front pouch on his backpack and pulled out a tampon still in the wrapper. Here. He held it out to me. I gaped as I barely took it from him. I was speechless, but the guys weren't.
Why do you have those in your bag?
Asher asked, holding back a laugh. Zeke was looking at Miles as if he was from another planet. Miles shrugged, his ears turning pink, as he closed his backpack.
I read an article about how if you're friends with a girl, you should carry a couple for emergencies,
he admitted. Zeke and Asher burst out laughing. I was just stunned. Then I was hugging Miles tight. Thank you so much, sweetie, I said, before pulling back and kissing his cheek.
You're welcome,
he muttered, his face red. The others were doubled over when I walked back into the bathroom. When we got to our usual lunch table, the guys had finally stopped laughing. I told them what Ethan had said to me.
That is their usual reaction,
Zeke admitted.
Don't take it personally, Allie. It's just the way they are,
Asher said as he pulled out his lunch. I pulled out my lunch bag. I'm still worried about them, I muttered.
We are too,
Miles admitted.
We can only wait now.
I had just taken a bite out of my sandwich when the PA system crackled to life. Alexis Delaney, please report to the office. Alexis Delaney, the female voice announced. I growled before handing Hades half my sandwich to eat as I put the rest of my lunch away.
That's probably about Hades,
Zeke said before turning to Asher.
Pay up.
Asher was digging in his wallet as I stood up. I'm not in the mood for this shit today, I grumbled as I picked up my bag. The guys chuckled.
Don't get suspended, Lexi,
Miles warned. Fine. What about a write-up? Can I get a write-up? I asked impishly. Miles shook his head. I grumbled dramatically as I walked away with Hades. It didn't take long to get to the office. Delaney as requested over the PA, I said sarcastically. The woman at the counter frowned at me. Okay, maybe I should pull in the attitude a bit. Mrs. Weaver will see you now, the woman said, pointing to the door behind the counter. I walked around the counter with Hades and went to the mostly open door. I knocked. Mrs. Weaver looked up. Then her gaze went to Hades. Lexi, have a seat, she said politely. I came in and sat down in the chair across from her desk. Hades sat on the floor next to me, panting away. I scratched his ears as Mrs. Weaver eyed him. We seem to have had a miscommunication. We have? I asked dryly. Her gaze darted to me, and she wasn't amused. Yeah, I should pull it back. When I said you could bring your service dog, I assumed it was a lab or a golden retriever, one of the dogs mostly used for service animals. I did not expect you to bring a guard dog, she said. I raised an eyebrow at that. How did she know he was a guard dog? Hades had only growled at someone once today. You told me to bring in my service animal. I brought in my service animal. The fact that you thought I had a different breed of dog isn't my fault, I pointed out. Alexis, I'm getting very tired of having you in my office, she said. Great. I was tired of being in her office. So I'm just going to make myself clear. You will leave the dog at home. I bit back a grin. What she was telling me was very illegal. You couldn't stop someone from bringing a service animal into a school, or anywhere for that matter. Thankful to Rory, who had insisted I memorize the laws about service animals, I leaned forward. All right. I waited a heartbeat for her to get that smug look on her face. But, of course, that means my friends will be walking me to class again. She sighed wearily. No, Alexis, they won't. If they are late one more time, I'll suspend them. Then I'll be bringing in Hades tomorrow, I said instantly. She all but slammed her hands onto the desk. Alexis, I understand you're afraid, she said, trying to sound soothing. But it's about time you get over it. What happened to you was awful, but you've healed. Excuse me? I bit out. Anger boiled in my veins. But did you just tell me to get over it? She seemed to realize how that sounded. Yes, what I want to see. What you want to see? You're not my shrink, I snapped, my voice getting louder and louder as I continued. You don't get to tell me how to deal with what happened. I'm not going to recover on your schedule. I'm going to go at my pace. It's going to be painful and terrifying, but that's what it is. I'm dealing the best way I can, the way that works for me. I understand. No, you don't. Otherwise, you wouldn't be telling me to leave my service dog at home or that my friends can't walk me to class. You're trying to take away my coping mechanisms. So no, it's very clear that you do not understand a fucking thing, I growled. Silence filled the small office. Phones out in the main office went unanswered. I felt better, as if I had let something out that had been festering inside me for months. Mrs. Weaver's face was hard. Go sit outside in the main office, she ordered. I'm calling your uncle to come in for a meeting. I scoffed. Be my guest. I got up and took Hades out into the main office. Sure enough, the women in the office quickly made themselves look busy. I dropped into a chair and pulled out my phone, then opened our group text. Alexis, I won't be back for lunch. My phone instantly started vibrating. Zeke.
Where are you?
Asher.
What happened?
Miles.
Are you all right?
I smiled down at my phone. Alexis. I'm fine. I'm in the office waiting while the vice principal calls Rory in for a chat. Miles.
What happened?
Alexis. I might have yelled at her. The door to the office opened. Asher walked in, followed closely by Zeke.
What the hell happened?
Zeke snapped. I started to explain when Miles came through the door and joined us. By the time I was done, Miles was sitting next to me, and Asher was in the chair on the other side. Zeke stood across from me, his arms crossed over his chest. So, in short, I kind of lost it in there, I admitted. The guys shared looks. Then they all started chuckling. What? Asher shook his head while Zeke walked over to the chair by the window.
We are just thinking about what Rory is going to say when he hears that she threatened you,
Miles explained. My fingers twisted in my lap. You don't think I'll be suspended? I asked, hopefully.
She can't, Asher said. She tried to keep a service dog out of the school, and she tried to blackmail you. Rory is going to screw her to the wall,
Zeke offered with a smirk. The bell rang for the end of lunch. The guys didn't move. Guys, class, I reminded them.
Forget it,
Zeke muttered.
I'm not moving,
Asher said, as he made himself more comfortable.
I've already memorized the chapter for the week,
Miles announced. I smiled to myself. I loved these guys. I just wished the twins were here.
It wasn't much longer before Rory stormed into the office, still in uniform. His hard eyes went to me as he strode over.
"Explain,"
he demanded. I did, as quickly as I could. I even told him about the cat excuse. When I was done, his face and eyes were furious. "I know I shouldn't have yelled at her. I just couldn't seem to stop," I admitted. Rory looked to the guys.
"You boys staying with her?"
There was a mix of yeah and yes. Rory nodded, then went to the counter and the woman standing behind it.
"Rory Delaney for Vice Principal Weaver,"
he said calmly. Mrs. Weaver came out of her office just then. "Ah, you must be Alexis's uncle." She smiled politely until she saw the boys. "Boys, the bell rang, get to class." They ignored her. "If you boys aren't in class by the time I'm done with this meeting, you'll each be suspended again." The guys continued to ignore her as she led Rory to the office. I started bouncing my knee.
Rory. Furious, I kept a lid on it until Mrs. Weaver was behind her desk, and I sat in the little chair across from her. The woman had to be in her late 40s, early 50s. By the way she was dressed, not a hair out of place, everything pressed and perfect, I could see how Lexi would annoy her. It was obvious she was all about control and order. And Lexi? Well, she was not. Still, that didn't matter. She turned to me with a pleasant smile that was as fake as her capped teeth.
"I'm having difficulty communicating with Alexis. She continually curses. I also believe she is having more trouble than she's admitting to, and when we tried to discuss it with her, she wasn't honest about it."
"Really?" I asked, keeping my voice neutral. I was well aware of how much trouble Lexi was having, and I highly doubted this woman had a clue. I wanted to see how deep a hole this woman would dig for herself.
"Yes. First, there are the cuts on her arms,"
she said with a concerned look on her face, though the light in her eyes told me she was enjoying this. "The ones from the cat?" I asked. Her eyes filled with sympathy.
"I doubt it was a cat, Mr. Delaney. I believe Lexi is hurting herself."
I raised an eyebrow. I was sitting in the living room with her at the Turner house when Ethan's cat got angry and scratched my niece. So I think we can lay that one to rest. Her eyes narrowed, growing hard.
"She's also causing her friends to be late to class. They are on the verge of suspension because of it."
She leaned forward over her desk.
"When I told her this, she agreed to bring in her service animal, which I thought was a wonderful idea."
She leaned back with an exasperated look on her face.
"Unfortunately, the dog is not well trained. He's been disruptive in every class Alexis has been in today. He's even growled at several students."
Now that was an outright lie. Hades was extremely well-behaved, and the only time he'd growl would be to protect Lexi. I'd seen it myself. I kept listening, waiting.
"When I brought your niece in here to discuss it, she started yelling and cursing,"
she continued. "Making a ruckus?" I offered. She latched onto that like a life preserver.
"Yes, she must do it at home as well. I don't know how you deal with that girl,"
she said. I looked over her shoulder and counted to 10 before meeting her gaze. "It's rather simple to deal with Lexi. You tell her what you expect, and she'll do what she's supposed to do," I said, keeping my voice calm.
"Well, we're not seeing that here,"
Mrs. Weaver said. She was really digging in on this one. "I do have a question about this incident." I leaned forward so I would have her complete attention. "Did she start yelling and cursing before or after you told her to get over it in regard to her PTSD? Her face paled under her makeup. "You see, I spoke to Lexi before you came out, and she told me exactly what happened. I pointed at her. You threatened to suspend her friends if they didn't stop walking her to class. You threatened a traumatized 17-year-old girl by taking away the people who help her feel safe. Then when she brought in her service dog, you told her she couldn't have that either."
"Those boys are late to every class every day," she stated.
"No, they're not," I replied. "One of them is late maybe twice a day, and who that is changes every day. I leaned back and met her gaze. When Lexi came home from the hospital, we worked together to find a way to get Lexi back to school as soon as she healed up enough and felt up to it. I'm very aware of what those boys have been doing, and I am extremely grateful to them for it.
If you care about those boys, then you know they need to get to class on time.
She tried again. What I know is, you told my niece to get over it, and you told her she couldn't bring her service animal to school. I met her gaze again. You cannot deny a service animal. It's against the law. I can bring you up on charges. She stared at me slack-jawed. So, now that you're done lying, perhaps we can get to the root of this issue.
Excuse me?
She said, shocked. My niece is stubborn, loyal, foul-mouthed, and when she's on her game, she's a force of nature, I informed her. But right now, she's limping. She pushes herself every damn day to get back to normal. She doesn't know I see it, but I do. And she's making progress. It's slow, but it's progress.
The dog is
extremely well-trained. He won't make a noise unless something is wrong with Lexi, or someone threatens her. I took a breath and let it out slowly. That is her service animal, and you can't refuse to have him here. She looked embarrassed and furious all at the same time. So I'll make you a deal. She raised an eyebrow. I continued. If you show her some compassion, stay off her back, stay off the boys' backs until the end of the school year, then I won't bring this conversation up at the next school board hearing. Her jaw clenched.
All right. I'll give her a little more leeway.
I bowed my head in thanks. I appreciate it.
Lexi. I was still bouncing my knee when Rory strode out of the vice principal's office. How mad was he? He gestured at us.
Outside, he ordered.
No one argued. We grabbed our bags and left the office. When we were outside, Rory stopped and turned to us.
Here's what's going to happen.
He looked at the boys.
You guys will continue to walk Lexi to class.
He turned to me.
You will leave Hades at home and try to stay under this bitch's radar for the rest of the school year. Understood?
Everyone said yes. He nodded.
Good. Now get back to class.
Sorry, Rory, I said.
This wasn't on you, kid,
he assured me. I gave him a small smile before heading to gym. Chapter 12. Wednesday afternoon. I walked into the house after doing my homework at Miles's. It hadn't been the same without the twins. I let Hades off his leash and hung up my hoodie. Look who's here, Tara said cheerfully. I turned and instantly wanted to walk right back out the door. Tara's friends were over, along with Jessica. Great. Hey, Tara, I said before turning to head upstairs. There was no way I was going to stay down here with those bitches. I heard that a couple of your friends aren't talking to you anymore, Tara taunted. I turned back to see the smirk on her face. Mind your own business, I warned her. Her smile didn't go away. I told you those guys wouldn't stick around. It felt like a kick in the gut, and way below the belt. My heart ached as I met her eyes. How's trying to get into Asher's pants going? Or is it Zeke's this week? I asked, coldly. Her eyes grew wide, her mouth dropping open. It's not going to happen, Tara. Don't you get it? Zeke and Asher want nothing to do with you. So stop chasing them like a bitch in heat. I turned around and took the stairs with Hades. I closed and locked the door behind me, then sank to the floor as tears fell down my face. Tara had hit too close to the mark right now. With the twins not talking to me or the guys, I didn't see how this was going to end well. I wrapped my arms around my knees and rested my forehead on them. Someone slammed on my door, making me jump. You bitch, Tara hissed. You're nothing to those guys, just a piece of ass. She hit the door again. Do you really think they care about a piece of trash like you? Your own mother didn't even want you. Tara stomped down the stairs. Tears fell as Hades nudged his head under my neck, forcing my head up. I gave him a watery smile and hugged him tight. They weren't going to leave me. They weren't. I held tight to Hades while I tried to remind myself that they cared about me.
Zeke. The dogs were going crazy. I walked out the back door with their food, whistling before setting down their bowls in their assigned spots. They didn't come. I whistled again. The dogs growled and snarled further back on the property. Striding toward the sound, I almost jogged to see what had them so worked up. Tank! Kira! I called. The dogs were backing away from the fence, their fur up and teeth bared. That wasn't right. Tank! Kira! Come! I ordered. They continued to back up to my side. They kept growling. Something wasn't right. I looked out in the fading light, wonder if a bear was on the property on the other side of the fence. I searched, but found nothing. I touched their backs. They were both trembling. House, I ordered. The dogs didn't move until I backed up. They moved between me and whatever they saw. This wasn't normal. I pulled out my cell phone and called.
Hey,
Lexi said, in her tired, raspy voice. She had my complete attention instantly. What's wrong? I asked as I kept backing toward the house, taking Tank and Kita with me.
Nothing, I just had a run-in with Tara,
she muttered. She took a drink, probably from her water bottle. Shit.
Yeah, that was my thought too,
she admitted, her voice back to normal.
What's with the dogs?
I kept backing up, the dogs keeping pace with me, still growling, still baring their teeth. Something strange is happening, I told her. The dogs are acting like there's something here and I can't see it. It could be a bear or a mountain lion out in the woods, but I'm heading back to the house with them, and they aren't letting up. She started moving instantly.
You think there's a soul out there?
She asked, then moved her mouth away from the phone and called for Hades. Maybe, I said. I've never seen this behavior before, unless a bigger predator was around.
I'm on my way.
Thanks.
No problem,
she said before hanging up. I brought the dogs back into the house. They kept pacing and growling. I looked out the back windows expecting to see a bear or mountain lion somewhere. I couldn't see shit. I was going to have to wait for Lexi.
Lexi. I pulled up to Zeke's house. This time it had only taken me 10 minutes to get across town. Zeke's house was a mix of cabin and bungalow. There was a small wraparound porch that kept some of the yard tools out of the weather. I personally loved the house, but that didn't matter right now. The dogs inside were going bonkers. I hurried to the door with Hades. Zeke opened it before I could knock.
Get in here,
he grumbled, reaching out and taking my arm. He all but dragged me inside. I'm in, I said, surprised at his grip on my arm. Zeke had never grabbed me that hard before. What's with you? He was looking out the window again, frowning.
There might be a mountain lion or a bear outside,
he reminded me, his fists clenching and unclenching at his sides. Okay, that made sense. Well, I'm going to need to go outside to look around, I pointed out. He led me through the kitchen to the back door. There he picked up his shotgun. Do you really need that? I asked as I slipped on my bracelets. He looked out the back window as he answered.
That fence is 8 feet high. Mountain lions can jump 15 up into a tree.
Yep, taking the shotgun with us, I said immediately. He grunted as he opened the door and walked outside first. I followed closely behind him.
I'll show you where they were barking,
he said, the gun braced against his shoulder, the muzzle pointed at the ground. He reached back, took my hand, and brought it to his belt at the back of his waist, directly above his butt. I focused on holding on to his belt.
I want to know where you are, so don't let go,
he ordered. I didn't say anything as I followed Zeke to the back of the fenced-in area. We were halfway there when that chill ran down my neck like a lick of fire. I hissed and slapped my hand against my throat. "Relax, it's a ghost," I told him, wincing. He lowered the shotgun and clicked the safety on. He began unloading it as I waited. I'd been to the range enough with Rory and Zeke in the last few months to know you never walk in front of a barrel, even with the safety on. I did it once, and Zeke about ripped my head off. Rory quickly followed with his own lecture on gun range safety. I never did it again. Zeke put the shells in his pocket before pointing the barrel at the ground again.
"Clear,"
he said. I stepped around him and started looking for the sole. I walked along the fence line with Zeke right beside me. I eventually found him in the south corner of the fenced-in area. He was wearing snow camo, an orange vest, gloves, and a beanie. He must have been a hunter. When he turned around, my mouth dropped. He had a deep hole in his chest, deep enough that his ribs were visible. His face was dazed, his eyes unfocused. He seemed confused. "Found him," I told Zeke, before walking towards the ghost. When I was close enough, I spoke to him. "I see you." He turned, his face white, his eyes wide.
"What the hell is going on?"
Shit, he didn't know. "What's your name?" He swallowed hard.
"Alex. Alex Osborne. I need to get home. My wife..."
"Alex," I said gently, "you're dead." His eyes filled.
"No, no, I'm just lost."
My heart ached for him. "Look at your chest." He looked at me as if I was insane before looking down at his chest.
"Holy mother!"
His hands started shaking as he reached up to touch one of his ribs. That was kinda gross. Tears ran down his face as he looked at me again.
"My wife, she's pregnant. She needs me."
Judging by his clothes, he had been dead for a while. "What's her name?"
"Meredith,"
he breathed as tears continued to fall. My eyes filled as well. "You can't stay here. If you go to the cemetery in the morning, there are others waiting to cross over. They can explain everything. If you do that, I'll find out about your wife."
"You promise?"
he pleaded. "I promise." He nodded, tears still falling as if he didn't notice it.
"Okay, the cemetery. The one on Walnut?"
"Yeah, just follow the driveway to the highway and head back to town," I said gently. He nodded again as he turned and walked through the chain-link fence, then along the fence towards the driveway. "He's gone," I called to Zeke as I wiped my face. "His wife was pregnant."
"Shit,"
he bit out. I nodded. That just about covered it. We headed back towards the house.
"You okay?"
"Was I okay?" I shrugged. I was tired. Tired of the dead and their tragic stories. Tired of crossing them. Tired of being the only way into the veil. Tired of Tara's bullshit. I ran my hand down my face. "Yeah, I'm fine," I lied. Zeke had his own problems to deal with. He didn't need mine. His calloused hand wrapped around the back of my neck, comforting me, making a part of me relax. "I just have to find out what happened to his wife and baby." I shook my head. "I'm just hoping they are both alive and doing okay."
"I'm sure they are,"
he said gently. I scoffed. "Sure they are." I could feel his worried gaze on me. "Because everyone gets a happy ending." I took a deep breath, wiped my face, and gave him a strained smile. "I'm fine. Just a little tired of sad endings." I opened the back door and was greeted by the dogs. They were calmer and back to their normal selves. I put a leash on Hades.
"No, not everyone gets a happy ending,"
Zeke admitted as he walked me to the door. I turned and met his eyes.
But that doesn't mean they don't exist.
I gave him a small smile. Well, if you're going to bring logic into my pity party, I countered. He chuckled, the sound making me give him a real smile. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks, Lexi,
he said as I headed toward the blazer. I waved without turning around. No problem. It's what I do, I said tiredly. Hades jumped in, and I followed. Zeke had his worried face on as I turned to go down his driveway. My thoughts just got darker as I drove away. I had to find Osborne's family. What if they were dead? What if the baby didn't make it? I pushed those thoughts away as I tried to focus on driving. He had a baby on the way. It wasn't fair that he never got to meet his kid. Out of all the fucked up stories I've heard over the years, this one was up there in the top five. I was still grousing when I pulled up to the house. The sun had set while I was at Zeke's. Rory's truck wasn't in the driveway. Neither was Tara's car. I took deep breaths as my chest tightened. The shadows in the yard seemed to grow. Snow flashed through my mind. Then the arm around my throat. I was taking heavy breaths as tears fell. Come on, Lexi. You can do this. I rested my forehead on the steering wheel as I cried. I didn't want to fight this time. I just wanted to be able to go inside without a problem for once. I took deep, gasping breaths as my chest tightened, my heart raced. I needed help tonight. I couldn't. I was tired. I pulled out my phone and called the first person I could think of. He answered. I need you, I said immediately, my voice thick with tears. I can't make myself walk into the house alone. Please? The line went dead. He hung up on me. I kept crying, not knowing if he was coming or not. I could do this, but I was tired of pushing it today. I just wanted my bed, my dog, and sleep. I was contemplating just staying in the car until someone got home when my door opened. Isaac's eyes ran over me before he reached in and pulled me out of the blazer. Hades hopped out after me. He took my hand and led me up to the house. He used his own key to open the door, then switched on the light. I stepped inside, the pressure in my chest easing. I quickly turned off the alarm. When I turned to Isaac, he was looking out the door. I'm sorry. Thanks for coming, I sniffed, feeling ridiculous. He met my eyes and nodded. Those amber eyes were haunted as he stepped closer, kissed my forehead, then walked out the door. He hadn't said a word to me. My heart took a big kick. Damn it. Chapter 13. Thursday morning. Shit! My alarm hadn't gone off this morning, so I had to skip the cemetery and rush to school. I hadn't even had time to brush my teeth. I hurried into second period in the last 10 minutes of class. Mrs. Hayes sent me a censoring look. I shrugged apologetically as I sat down. While everyone else talked, our teacher came over to me. Lexi, what happened? She asked. Power went out last night and my alarm didn't go off, I lied. The truth was, I used my phone for an alarm, and I had such a hard time sleeping last night that when I meant to hit snooze, I turned it off. She sighed. We've had a lot of issues with the power going out lately. She pointed at me. I'll let you off this time. I suggest using your phone for an alarm. Yes, ma'am, I said instantly. She gave me the assignment for the day, then headed back to her desk. I leaned back and sighed. That was close. I pulled out my phone and used the group text. Alexis, I was majorly late today. It wasn't long before I got an answer. Zeke.
No shit.
Asher.
I'll take you to math. Miles, can you take her to chemistry?
Miles.
Of course.
Alexis. Thanks, guys. The bell rang, and I picked my bag back up, then went to wait in the hall. Eric started down the hall, then turned back.
"I could walk you to class if you want,"
he offered. I eyed him. That was new. "No, thanks. Asher's coming to get me." He turned and walked away. Why wouldn't he leave me alone? It was starting to get creepy. Then again, I was more sensitive to the creep factors lately. Asher stepped out of the crowd with a grin.
"What happened this morning?"
I pushed away from the wall and started walking with him towards my math class. Hit off instead of snooze on my alarm? He chuckled as he shifted his bag around to his front and pulled out a couple pieces of gum.
"Here."
I took them gratefully. "Is it that bad?" I teased. I popped them in my mouth and enjoyed the minty freshness.
"No, but I know you,"
he said with a grin. I shrugged.
"Did you sleep all right?"
"No, but that wasn't anything new." "The same as usual," I muttered, as I stepped around a couple in the hallway who seemed to think they owned the whole thing. We reached my classroom. "Thanks, Ash."
"No problem, Allie girl."
He waited until I was inside before taking off. I took my seat next to Laura and took a deep breath. Laura's eyes ran over me. "Are you all right, Lexi?" "Yeah, just too many balls in the air and I'm running out of hands," I muttered as I pulled out my textbook. "Sounds exhausting," she said as she pulled out her own book. "Maybe you should let something drop." I shrugged. "Maybe." Class started while I thought about what she said. What could I drop? I couldn't drop the dead. I couldn't drop the veil. I wouldn't drop the guys. I couldn't drop homework and school. All that was left was MMA training, rock climbing, and the job I wanted to get. But that was the only stuff I wanted to do besides hanging out with the guys. I rubbed my eyes wearily. There was nothing I could drop. Maybe I shouldn't try to get a job. I was stretching myself too far already, and I couldn't stop. I decided to focus on class instead. One day at a time, that's all I can do. The class was half over when the overhead lights grew bright.
"What in the world?"
Mr. Hatter said. The lights went out, plunging the room into dim light. I stayed still as that chill ran down my throat like a hot poker. Shit. I slid my bracelets on quickly and tried to look like every other girl in the room. Only they couldn't see the ghosts walking through the walls and into the room. I cursed under my breath as Mr. Hatter got on his cell to the office. The ghosts, led by Mr. Davis, started yelling. I closed my eyes and took a deep breath. The room started to get chilly. People started talking. Girls started pulling on their hoodies. I opened my eyes to meet Mr. Davis. My will was a pressure in my chest that kept building. I mouthed, "Get out," and let it fly. A silent blast of gold light shot out from me in a wave, knocking every soul back through the wall. Every bulb in the ceiling shattered. Girls screamed. I sagged over my desk, taking deep breaths as my head exploded and stomach lurched. I closed my eyes, fighting to stay put. When my stomach cramps eased a little, I realized my nose was bleeding. I reached into my pocket and cleaned up my face. I raised a trembling hand. Mr. Hatter spotted me.
"Lexi?"
"I'm not feeling so well. I think I need to hit the nurse's office," I managed, as my stomach tried to decide if I would be sick or not. He eyed me.
"Go ahead."
He turned to the rest of the class.
"In fact, everyone, it's a half day. A transformer blew, and it looks like the backup generator is fried. School is out until Monday."
Everyone cheered. I just grabbed my bag, then hurried out of class, still holding tissues to my nose. I didn't go to the nurse's office. I went to the girls' bathroom and the first empty stall. I sat down with my back against the tile, hoping I wasn't going to be sick. What the hell did I do in there? I'd never done that before. Not out of the veil, at least. What the fuck was going on? The pain in my head increased. My stomach lurched. I moved to my knees, just in time to be sick into the toilet. I dry-heaved again and again. I had nothing in me to start with. When it finally stopped, I noticed my tissues were soaked. I dropped them into the toilet and grabbed more. The cold tile against my back helped. I sat there in misery.
Miles. I hurried away from Lexi's math class and put my phone to my ear. What? Zeke answered. I can't find Lexi, I said immediately. Her teacher said she got a bloody nose and went to the nurse's office. I headed for the hallways. Fuck, Zeke snapped. At least we know she's not at the office. I moved through the crowd quickly. If she was at a two, then she'd hit a bathroom. Shit, we need a girl, he growled. Get Tara, I ordered. What? Asher probably knows where she is. We'll send her into the bathrooms to look for Lexi, I explained, moving to the side of the hallway so I could stop. Unless you want to wait until enough people clear out so we can go into the girls' bathrooms. I'll call Asher, Zeke growled before hanging up. I looked down at my phone. Hurry. Something had happened here, and I had a good idea that Lexi was at the center of it. What the hell was going on?
Lexi. Eventually, the door to the bathroom opened. Light footsteps echoed off the tile. Lexi? Tara's voice echoed off the tile. Here, I croaked. Why was she looking for me? She's in here and it's empty, Tara called, the sound grating on my ears. Heavy footsteps moved over the tile. Lexi? Miles' soothing voice eased my stomach a bit. I opened my eyes. I'm fine. Just, what was I going to tell them? Thank you, Tara. We can take care of her from here, Miles announced. Fine. Don't tell me what's going on, Tara bit out before walking out the door. I opened my eyes. Miles was kneeling beside me. Zeke was just outside the stall with Asher. All of their eyes were full of questions. Shit. I'm okay.
Did you use your kit?
Zeke demanded. Fuck. I forgot, I admitted. My barriers had been stronger than ever. I hadn't had to use them for weeks. Miles began to dig into his bag, then pulled out a kit.
What happened?
Asher asked. I sighed. What was I going to tell them? Some ghost showed up in class, I said, my voice raspy. Where was my water bottle? Oh, I don't care. I made them leave, and here I am. There. That wasn't a lie.
How?
Miles asked gently as he handed me two nausea tablets. I'm too tired to explain it right now. I hedged before popping them into my mouth. They seemed to take that at face value.
Come on, Asher said. You can get some sleep at my house. Jess won't be home till 9 tonight.
That sounded like a great idea. I didn't want to be alone right now. I just need a couple hours, I said as I checked my tissues and found my nose had stopped bleeding. I tossed them into the toilet and flushed. Miles helped me up. When I caught sight of my reflection, I winced. My face was white as paper and covered in blood. I quickly washed my face before leaving the bathroom with the guys. When we reached the parking lot, Zeke held his hand out.
Keys.
I didn't even argue. I just handed them to him. Asher guided me to his truck, then made sure I was buckled in before closing the door. They were talking about something out there, but I couldn't care right now. I leaned my head back and slipped under. Chapter 14. Thursday evening. I woke up to the smell of vanilla and cinnamon. Opening my eyes, I recognized Asher's room in the dim light coming in through the blinds. I rubbed my face, trying to remember how I got here. I remembered the bathroom, getting into the truck, then nothing. Asher probably had to carry me upstairs.